Why is this day different than any other day? This day is the day that sets Christian believers apart from the rest of the world. When those without faith gather on a normal Sunday morning, for the faithful Christian, today marks the beginning of a new dawn. Not a dawn of merely a new week, but the dawn of a new life. For this is the day when Christ broke the prison bars of death and rose victorious from the underworld. This is the day that every year makes Satan cower in fear, recognizing his non servium, his I will not serve, was his greatest downfall. This is the day when even the greatest sinner is given hope. This is the day of Christ's Passover, from death to life, his Pascha, his Easter. For this day is the day that hails his resurrection. Every year, Catholics around the world gather on this morning to welcome our risen Lord. We welcome him in this most sacred liturgy. And in the context of this liturgy, we experience God's greatest gifts to us, his sacraments. Now, why are the sacraments his greatest gifts? Because they give us eternal life. Today, on Easter morning, we will receive the Holy Eucharist, that if the ancient Israelites could only have partaken of it, they would have never complained to God all those years in the desert. Since Holy Thursday, tabernacles throughout the whole world have been empty, symbolizing Christ's betrayal and death. Yet today, the tabernacle has once again become an abode for our God. The Holy Eucharist is God's greatest gift to us, that if angels could be envious, they would be of the Holy Eucharist. The Holy Eucharist, Holy Communion, Christ's body and blood, Christ himself. If we think about it, what more could we ask for? Mane nobiscum Domine. Stay with us, Lord. These words of the disciples on the road to Emmaus in Luke's Gospel are now put on our own lips as we welcome our Lord back. Which brings me to a very important point. We, as Catholics, are privileged to receive the body and blood of our Lord in the Eucharist. We receive Christ inside of us. Christ humbles himself to be with us. God himself humiliates himself by coming under the mere appearance of bread and wine to be with us. But he does so out of love. The Eucharistic presence of our Lord is infinitely more valuable than the most expensive works of art kept in the finest museums. It's worth more than any gym or school or career or relationship or any false pleasure can offer. The Eucharist is a treasure so valuable that we realize that to receive Holy Communion, we need to be better Christians, better followers of the Lord. When we receive Holy Communion today, we must realize that we need to do all that we can to be pure, to be free from sin, to be holy. We value the Eucharist to such an extent that we must deny ourselves the reception of the Eucharist if we know that we have committed serious sins, or if we have missed Mass on a Sunday without confession first. Reception of the Holy Eucharist each Sunday keeps the flame of Easter alive in our hearts. The flame that is the light of Christ, the light of the resurrection. Yet, so often, we take the Eucharist for granted. If only our thoughts could be the same as the words of the early African martyrs of the 3rd century. Their last words before they died were, "We cannot live without the Eucharist." And we can treat the Eucharist as if it's something we deserve, something we have a right to. No, we do not have a right. It is a privilege that requires our whole gift of self to Christ. For love always demands a response. Now, all of us here this morning will renew our baptismal promises after my homily. I pray that when we do so, we will commit to never taking the Eucharist for granted. This morning, all of us should bask in the light and enjoy the warmth of Christ. This light of faith is symbolized in the Paschal candle beside me. And yet we know that many of our friends, our neighbors and family members are not here. Perhaps they're looking for victory in places where victory can never be found. They look for hope in things that cannot give hope. Their annual vacations, their jobs, alcohol, their relationships, their health. Who will light their candles? Who will bring the light of faith to them? After the apostles witnessed the resurrection and received the Holy Spirit, they wouldn't be able to hold the flame of their faith back. The gospel of Christ's irreversible victory was too good to keep to themselves. Today, let us bask in that light and thank God for his victory. But we cannot stop there. Let us promise our Lord that we will all keep our candles lit, that we will keep our faith always burning brightly through prayer, the sacraments, and good works. In the beginning anew this week, like the apostles, we'll strive to bring the light of Christ to those who live in darkness, those who live for false pleasures and mediocrity, those who do not live for our Lord. The light of the resurrection is worth it. It is a reminder that death, fear, and despair have no say over us. It is a reminder that death, the devil's greatest weapon, is no longer a weapon. For by the grace of the resurrection, death is now simply the doorway to everlasting life. And so we can rightly say, O death, where is your sting? O hell, where is your victory? Christ is risen, and you are overthrown. Christ is risen, and the demons are fallen. Christ is risen, and the angels rejoice. Christ is risen, and life reigns. And so why is this day different than any other day? Because today, Christ wins. Amen.